What happens to your nutrition around the holidays? How do you handle stress and plan for those uncontrollables? Welcome to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Dina Griffin, and my co-host, Bob Sibahar. We are both registered dietitians and board certified specialists in sports dietetics with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. We are here to translate nutrition and sports science research to real life, give you some awesome interviews with a variety of experts and athletes so that you can enhance your knowledge to optimize your health, fitness, and athletic performance. On today's episode, number 104, we are talking about the holiday season and stress and much more. Don't worry, this isn't an eat this, not that kind of show. Rather, we're talking about the impact of the holidays when we travel or when stress is high and provide you a couple thinking points and tactics for approaching the holiday season so that you can come out on the other side of 2023 and into 2024. For feeling good, ready to tackle the year ahead. Real quick, wanted to give a thanks to all of you for being here with us as we celebrate the end of year two of this podcast and begin our year three. It means a lot to us that you're here and we appreciate you. So just wanted to give a thank you to all of you for being here with us along this podcast journey. And now let's get on to episode number 104.
Tina, I feel like one of us should start singing some holiday music and I've got my finger on my nose, which means it's not me. Should intro this episode by you singing maybe like Jingle Bell Rock or something?
That would not be a good idea, Bob. There's a reason I only play guitar and I'm in the background of the band. I am not a vocalist.
I know you've stepped up with your guitar and you just started, you know, just belting out the lyrics. I know it.
I do the lip sync thing. So, you know, with all due respect to our wonderful listeners, we'll just, you know, not have either of us sing.
That's probably a good idea. We'll stay with doing what we're good at, right? And so listeners, that was kind of a little cool little intro to happy holidays, right? It's literally here, the holiday season 2023. Dina and I are sitting here in beautiful Colorado with no snow, which is a little strange, but not so strange because it's Colorado. Anyway, we thought we would just come at you today, listeners, with having a little armchair talk, some, you know, M&M talk, which we like to call it, and just chat about nutrition and the holidays. Now, wait a second, Dina. All of our listeners are like, oh my gosh, it's nutrition for the holidays. How many times have I heard this before? I'm pretty sure you're going to learn some stuff because the way Dina and I approach holiday nutrition is a little different sometimes than what most dietitians will promote. So why don't we just have fun with this one? And listeners, you know, grab your pad of paper or your iPad or whatever you use to make some notes, jot down some ideas. And Dina, I don't know, let's have some fun with this chat today.
I wanted to share real quick. I am kind of in the holiday spirit in a bizarre way, maybe, because I made a matcha for the first time in a long time while we're chatting here. I made it right before we hopped on, but I put vanilla whey isolate powder in it with my, I actually used cow milk.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's very delish. But you know, I think of like warm beverages and coziness when holidays come around.
It's like the time of the year, right? Where you just literally want a really cold, maybe snowy day or just cold. So you could just sit there and drink those drinks, right? But it's so true. Like it's the holidays. It's the pumpkin spice. It's the chocolate peppermint. It's the this, it's the that. But there's also a little bit of stress involved with that. And that, unfortunately, if you were to ask me, let's say, Bob, what's a word that comes to mind when it comes to the holidays? I do think stress And stress isn't necessarily a bad thing because there is good and bad stress, as we know. Yeah. But I feel like just with myself and a lot of our listeners, it's like, oh my gosh, it's the end of another year and I have to plan for next year. I have to finish all these things for this year. And it's the holidays and it's family and it's social and it's eating and it's, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to my exercise? I just feel like there's so many things going on with people's minds and going through their minds and activities. It can be a little stressful, right?
Definitely, especially if you throw in travels and then out of your routine, like you're saying. I mean, it can be a compounding effect or whatever set of effects on our existence. And I think it's so bizarre, isn't it, Bob? Because it's supposed to be, I mean, the ideal is holiday season is joyous and, you know, relaxing for some of us that are lucky enough to have some downtime from work. And then it ends up being insanity for a lot of people.
It is. And, so, and maybe it's happy insanity. I don't know if those two words go together, but like, you know, there is a true joy to the holidays, but I do think it's covered up sometimes by that insanity of either I have so much to do, or I have to make this meal, or I have to travel on the busiest time of the year, or whatever it is, right? Sometimes stressing out about the weather and traveling. But you know, what I'd like to do, Dee, is let's tee this up and maybe go back and forth, like one, and just bring up some things that come to our mind when it comes to how we can help our listeners navigate this time in terms of nutrition. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
So let me start, because we've been talking about stress. I kind of introduced the whole stress thing. I just, like, my first thing is, yes, it's maybe a more stressful time of the year. And remember, listeners, there is what is called distress and eustress. So distress is more of the quote unquote bad stress. Eustress is more the quote unquote good stress. So we, unfortunately, our body sometimes doesn't know how to react to either one because it is your perception. So it kind of treats both as the same. So regardless, I'll just lump stress into one bucket. So, and this is probably a little bit of personal information too, but you know, I feel like when stress kind of engulfs the body and the brain during the holidays, I think there's one of two roads that individuals take with food. And normally the road is, call it the high road or the low road. It's the, I'm just going to eat and eat and just keep on eating. Cause there's that emotional eating cue, right? Where I feel stressed. Therefore I want some type of something to make me feel good or deal with the stress or handle the stress. And I mean, I'm victim to that too. Like that is, I am very much a stress emotional eater depending on the time of the year. And now that's the nutrition part of it. We'll give some tips, but I think also there's a lot of psychological things you can do to help reduce stress, right? And that's personally what I try to do during the holidays is do a lot of reflection, maybe some journaling, meditation, deep breathing, just so I know I'm controlling my stress a little bit more. That's not nutritional based, but from a nutrition stress based, Dee, what are some tips that you give people to just try to help with this process of maybe not always choosing those comfort foods, emotionally, you know, connected foods that you know, they connect with stress?
I mean, I feel like I just want to tag on to what you said first, Bob, just because you mentioned the word control, and it just made me think of, as we're in this time of year, also you said the word reflect or reflection. Yeah. So I feel like for those of us who have had a hard time, whatever that level of stress is for you, reflecting on past holiday seasons to see, you know, like what didn't I take charge of that I could have, or acknowledging for this season, ooh, these are the things I'm not going to be able to control, you know, like the flight time or the weather or whatever. And just kind of reckoning that for your own self. Cause I feel like it's setting stage for maybe how we might use food for coping, or set up the food for having more nourishment when it is such a busy time. So I think that, like, identifying, oh, good, I can definitely make some headway here with the controllables in my schedule for this holiday season. But to your point, if it is a history of like anything goes this holiday season, I'm just going to eat my way through the stress cake or whatever, I think that is opportunity to try and make different for what's to come for this season. So now to get to your question.
Yeah.
I mean, nutritionally, yeah, I feel like that if you can be empowered and proactive, you know, trying to set up your day or your set of days, especially when it is social time or travel time, arming yourself with the things that you can nutritionally. So that might look like bringing your own snacks, which might seem so obvious mm-hmm. for people, but I can't tell you the number of times I've heard that from people who do know to bring food with them for the plane or the delays or whatnot. And it's like, shoot, you didn't. So yeah. It's like, let's, you know, jot down foods that you can pack with you in your bag or your carry on or in the car or whatnot. And surprisingly or not, it's a long list of things that you can do for that like snack situation so that you're not getting either too hangry or too grouchy or too extreme in the response or the reaction to whatever's happening that's in the uncontrollable bucket.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I'll put it into two words, plan ahead, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like we're kind of geeky when it comes to this because we're dietitians. And, you know, I mean, I can't tell you whenever I travel, and I want to make 2 points to this, whenever I travel, like literally, I cannot tell you this, like packing, planning ahead with my nutrition for my snacks is just as important as putting my toothbrush in my clothes. And like, that's just there. But unfortunately for some people, because either one, they don't travel that much, so they don't have that routine, like, oh, this is what I do, right? I'm traveling, I pack my clothes, I pack my food, my snacks. So I get that. Like if you don't travel that much, it's not on the top of mind. But two is making sure that you, what I do personally is like, I have a list, right? I'm a list guy. Right. Yeah. So I actually write down if I go for a trip, okay, I need socks, I need blah, blah, blah. Like I have everything. Oh, snacks. And then I actually, here's the thing though, I want to expound on what you said is it's not just about packing your snacks. It's about identifying which snacks are going to support you first. Mm-hmm. So not being like, oh, you know, I'll just grab something at the airport. Oh my gosh. I mean, how many of us have made that?
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna call it a mistake. But it is tough these days to find decent, let's call it snacks. Like you can find meals, although you're going to pay an arm and a leg, but it's hard to find decent snacks at airports that will actually support blood sugar. And I guess, you know, in a roundabout way, what I'm also mentioning is that, you know, listeners, when you pack snacks, make sure their blood sugar, you know, stabilizing, make sure they have a little, some protein, some carbs, fiber, and a little bit of fat in there. Like those are the snacks you want. You don't want to just go grab some, you know, whatever Skittles or, you know, Snickers bars or whatever, right? I mean, those sometimes will destroy your blood sugar and not support what we're trying to do here. So,
oh my gosh,
plan ahead. I know. Did I just say Snickers, Dina?
No, you're actually, I mean, I just take for granted when I say snack, everybody in the world knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, like stabilizes blood sugar. There's some protein in there, maybe some healthy fat. And I forget. And so, yeah, that is the nerd dietitian speaking. Not to say I don't enjoy a Snickers or a Payday here and there, but yeah, good to bring that up. Thank you for that.
Well, and you know, it's a good lesson. And I just learned it again. I was presenting to a team of young soccer players, boys, and we were talking about snacks. And again, I caught myself. I'm like, wait a second. As it came out of my mouth, like plan ahead with your snacks. I'm thinking, oh, wait a second. They probably are associating different foods as snacks versus what I'm associating. So I actually had to create a list of snacks that were in my brain, right? So again, listeners, when we're talking about this, it could be, I mean, there's so many food options, but I would say more wholesome, you know, more quote unquote close to earth. There are some good like food products that are made by companies out there for sure that are, you know, more of the food portion or not food portions, but the food ingredients, no preservatives, no artificial crap, right? That stuff. So those do exist, but they're harder to find, right? So, but that comes to it. Like what you have to plan ahead. Like if you don't have it in your house, where are you going to get it?
So Bob, if you were flying somewhere for, let's say, Christmas, because you celebrate Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. What would be three top snacks that you would pack in your carry-on
Well, you know how biased I am,
I
so
think I know one of those for
I
sure.
know you probably didn't do this on purpose to set me up, but I'm going to say it anyway because you asked. And literally, this is what I pack when I travel. My energy, so my all around snack cove, my energy bites are number one, literally. My gourmet snack mix is number two, literally. And then number three is, well, that's a tough one, D, because I usually only have those two snacks. I would say probably nut butter packets because I love, as we know, I love nut butter. So I'll take those little individual packets because they go through security pretty easily. But that's the thing. Like everything I just talked about, it's nuts, it's fruit, it's combined, it's fats, it's all these things combined. And I know we're gonna sound like the whole geekish dietitians for saying that, but hey, you know what? When it comes down to it, another thing we need to think about here, but which is digestive system, but we need to also snack on foods that are familiar to our body. Because the last thing I want, D, is to sit on an airplane for 2 to however many hours. All of a sudden, I'm starting to get bloated. I'm starting to have other issues. I do not want that on an airplane.
Like that F word that you mentioned in a previous pod.
Yes,
You know what I'm
farting.
saying? Oh,
I said it because boys
now I have
love
to laugh.
saying that word, farting.
Ooh, you know what? I'm also going to be a little bit on my soapbox just for a brief moment.
Hop on.
So, what bugs me is when folks around, let's say January 1, say out loud, man, I just totally blew my whole holiday season. I feel like junk. I'm like 10 pounds heavier. My jeans don't fit or whatever. My sports bra's bulging out. I don't know. That drives me nutso because if we had planned a little differently, or just maybe that is the plan, is I'm just going nutso for the season. And I'm using words that are not okay here. But the point is, like, if you're not thinking about what it is you want to feel on the other side of the holiday season, then you've got to live with that and maybe, account for that. That's might be a rough entry to the new year. Otherwise, we can do so much in the moment, and they might be little things like what we're talking about, snacks. That could be huge for somebody else, right, Bob? And so I think just thinking about like forward and then kind of backfilling, like, oh, okay, these are the things I can do that I know I've kind of goofed up on the path in the past or I've ignored, and this will really help me to stay on track, have decent energy levels, feel digestively on track and not regret or have some issues here on the other end of the holiday season.
And I feel like a lot of us this time of the year, we kind of tee ourselves up. And we're like, wow, this is like I'm ready. I'm ready for the next 6 weeks, and it's gonna be a rough one, maybe, but holiday travel, whatever it is, social gatherings. I think, to that point, that soapbox point, D, is like you don't have to be going into this time with an unsuccessful mindset. Like I do believe it starts with your mindset where, and this is what I teach athletes, here's another golden nugget, listeners, is like you go into it realizing that you will have some misses or some speed bumps you're going to go over. And that's okay. It's okay to have Christmas, whatever, cookies, fudge, I mean, whatever it is, whatever
Totally.
your guilty indulgences are. I think what's not okay is to sabotage yourself and say, oh, I
Yes.
did it once, therefore I'm just going to keep doing it because I'm not a strong person. All of us are strong. We just, it's all about mindset. So what I tell people is, you better allow yourself some misses during this holiday season. And again, whatever foods you determine as misses. But when you have these, and listen, it's tough. I'm going to speak from experience too. Like if I'm going to have whatever, a peanut butter chocolate ball that somebody makes, those just really like, oh my God, melt in your mouth kind of a thing. And I'm telling myself, I'm going to enjoy one and I'm going to go slow. So I'm going to make sure when I have my misses, I'm not going to be talking to anybody. I'm going to try not to be involved in conversations because when I eat that miss, I want to enjoy it. Like I want to take a few minutes and really just savor it. I'm salivating right now, Dina, just thinking about this, but I want to savor it and I want to like not be busy and just rush through it. Listeners, if you do this, you will actually not want more of that miss. It's just when we get in that busyness eating of misses that we just keep putting stuff down the hatch because we don't realize our brain isn't getting the signal like, oh yeah, I feel good now. You can stop because we keep putting it down so quickly. So I guess there are a lot of messages in that little chat.
Definitely. But I hear flexibility, allowing mm-hmm. and giving yourself permission to enjoy foods that you may not get very often, especially if you're with your Aunt Betty, who made that mm-hmm. one cookie bar you haven't had in 16 years, or, you know, all those things. But also just, yeah, it's just part of the holiday season. The other thing I was hearing from you, Bob, is the self-sabotage piece. Mm-hmm. That is where we can get ourselves into some physical issues, mental, emotional issues as well. So if we can kind of curb and not get to that point, that is ideal.
Yeah. And that actually spills over into the new year, right? I don't think a lot of people realize that, like, your behavior during the holidays will set up for success, or let's just say slower success, once you hit the new year where everyone starts setting their new goals. Because if you think about it, you roll into January 1 and you're like, hey, I'm on fire. Everything is firing good. I'm good. I feel good. My digestive system is good. My mental state, my mindset is good. What do you think is going to happen to your goal attainment? Like, more likely you're going to succeed, versus the opposite of where you come into January 1 rolling like, oh, I had a horrible holiday season. I feel so bad. I've been bloated for, you know, 6 out of the 7 days for the past 6 weeks, like whatever. And I just feel lousy and, you know, I'm not a good person. And all of a sudden you've set up your goals for 2024, the new year, and now you're behind the eight ball because you don't believe in yourself. Right. So it's not to say don't set goals, because, you know, I was thinking about this one because I get this question quite a bit. Well, should I set nutrition goals during the holidays? I think that's kind of a slippery slope, right? Mm-hmm. It really kind of, because we want flexibility. We don't want sabotage. But if we, you know, you and I are not big fans of the words, you know, can't and can't and good and bad, can't and can and good and bad. It's like, if you label things like that, especially during the holidays with the heightened stress, that might not turn out too well come the first of the year.
Agreed. Yeah. That language makes a difference in the mm-hmm. mindset, like you were saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about food again. Cause, you know, I got myself down this rabbit hole. You know, I vividly remember, like, every single Christmas Eve we have this, and, you know, people bring trays of sweets to our house. And I'm like, you know, love them to death, but I'm always like, hey, can we maybe, like, not do that? And it's not because it's not, you know, good indulging food, but it's like, I'm thinking of my past, and I'm like, I know what's happened to me in the past. And mm-hmm. now I kind of treat it as a challenge. So here's another, maybe, you know, listener perk up golden nugget. I personally treat these things as challenges. I'm like, okay, there's this huge tray of some really good looking sweets, you know, fudges and brat balls or whatever it is, cookies. And I know, like, in the past, I have overconsumed those, right? I know I have. And I feel great for the first 10 to 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then after, maybe longer than that, maybe it's like the first 10 to 20 minutes. And then after that, I'm like, oh, like, everyone goes home deep and you're like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And then here's the thing, for me personally, that spilled over onto the next day, Christmas Day, and I feel lousy, but I don't want to feel lousy because it's great. My point is this, right? When you have things like this, maybe accept them as challenges. And your challenge is, I'm going to sample, you know, kind of set your boundaries, right? I'm going to sample one or two of these, but it's going to be in small amounts. And I'm going to stop there because I don't want to feel maybe some negative digestive effects the next day. And that's kind of my guiding light, my North Star with those things, because I know how my digestive system responds to really high sugar foods, and it's really not good.
It might be a parallel too for those of us who consume alcohol. I know you do not do that, mm-hmm. Bob, right? But for those of us who do, it's similar, like, oh, just start the night with a cocktail, you know, and then you're in your muted state or whatever. And then oh, a second one or whatever, and that can continue. Then the carryover and the cycle we can get in, and it's just like dangerous territories for a lot of us for many reasons, right? Again, I think some of this is obvious maybe for many listeners, but it is our ability to make a choice. And like you're saying, if you want to view it as a challenge or set it up and ask for some support from those around you who might be in a similar situation, I feel like there's so many unspoken things mm-hmm. that happen. Like, actually, if we just talked about it and communicated with each other, we might be able to help each other in this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like it's hard, not that you brought the alcohol card up, and, you know, we're talking about sweets, alcohol, and that kind of stuff, kind of the indulging, you know, products, they're not products, but you know, whatever, however you want to say it, food choices, beverage choices, I kind of feel like it's difficult in our society because there's such a label to these, right? Mm. There's a label to alcohol. And if you drink alcohol, there's a label to high sugar rich foods or cookies or sweets or whatever. And then, you know, kind of, it's kind of the byproduct. We kind of feel like, do I need to conform or do I need to be my own person? Like, I think about that a lot these days is, like, because I kind of reflect, you know, I think as we get older, we're much better as, you know, reflecting upon, you know, what we've done, what we do, and kind of what's being done. And, you know, maybe when we're younger, yeah, we conform to some societal, you know, regulations, if you will, but it's because we're trying to fit in. Right. Yeah. So I would also, you know, provide this to our listeners. If you're comfortable with where you are right now and in the situation, be it, you know, a party, a social gathering at work, family, whatever it is, you know, you can say no. Like if that's important to you, you do have the power to say, you know what, that's not for me right now. Like I'll engage in great conversation, great, you know, interaction, but I don't need those things right now because it just doesn't fit my lifestyle. Right. Yeah. So it's okay. I guess what I'm saying is it's okay. Cause I'm always the black sheep at a lot of parties because I don't consume alcohol. I mean, rarely, if I can even say that. And it's fine. Like I never even think about it. Right. But you put some cookies in front of me and I'm thinking about those, right. Because we're all built differently is what I'm saying, but it's okay to say, you know what? No, that's just not my jam. It's fine. Like, oh yeah, I'll have a piece of fudge, but no, I'll pass on the wine or whatever. But I think we all need to find where like our comfort zone with that too. And, you know, kind of stick to your guns. Like you are your own person.
I love that, Bob. And that is another thing I hear often. So yeah, I wanted your take on this. So the scenario is, okay, I'm traveling I'll use Aunt Betty. I don't have an Aunt
Betty. Do you have an Aunt Betty?
No, but I'm using Aunt Betty. I'm traveling to Aunt Betty's house and she always makes these things for, you know, holiday dinner that I do not like, I do not eat, but I'm just going to do it because I don't want to ruffle feathers. That scenario, right? Like just go with the flow and eat the food so you don't talk about it and you just get through it. So it's kind of a fine line, right? Because if
it is,
makes you feel like junk or it's foods that upset your stomach or whatever versus like, oh, actually Aunt Betty, I think I'm going to contribute to the dinner and just wondering about shifting this one recipe or like, can you say those things and not be a jerk, you know, and speak up for yourself and communicate your needs?
Well, I think the easy answer, that wasn't a question, but my first thought was the easy answer is yes, you can speak up, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you're also talking to an Italian who was raised in an Italian family and culture. And when, like I was raised, like if you don't eat the food, that means you don't love someone. Uh-huh. Right. So I think we're also battling with those cultural, you know, regulations, if you will. And that's been hard for me because it is part of my culture is if I don't eat this or if someone doesn't eat my food. In the past, I used to be very offended because I'm like, wait a second, I spent how long making that or whatever? And there's a lot of love in here. And now you don't love me because you're not eating it. Now I've grown. You know, I think again, as we get older, we get a little wiser. And now I understand that. Like, I understand, listen, it's not going to be like if I make whatever, I understand it's not going to be for everyone. Like, everyone has different needs, but I'm in a different place of life where maybe Aunt Betty is not. You know what I mean? Like, I am very welcoming and saying, oh, Dina, if you don't want this, I totally get it. I've got this as an option if you want, or oh, you brought that? Fantastic. But I kind of feel like some people are just, you know, it is that they are what they are, right? They're their own person. They're stuck in their ways. Aunt Betty's going to be offended if you say no. But you know, in that situation, again, I think listeners, you have to make a decision. You have to, you know, please yourself or please somebody else. And I'll always pick please myself first, just because, I mean, I don't know why this keeps coming up, but I am so protective of my digestive system and my cognitive health. And I know certain foods will destroy both of those short term.
I mean, if you were staying at my house, Bob, I would worry about the F word happening.
Farting.
Yes. So I would honor your choices. So I love that.
Well, that's the thing too. Like if I know like, oh, if I eat that, things are not going to be looking good here in the next hour. And if I'm here for a couple hours, I don't want to be in the bathroom the whole time. Let's just set that up.
Everyone suffers in that situation. Yeah.
But here's the other thing too. Like, you also know, here's another little tip. Like, you go to a party or family gathering. Like, I do this all the time, D, all the time with my wife's side of the family too. If we have a family gathering, I'm like, hey, because I want to know the menu. And it's probably because I'm a dietitian, right? I'm like, oh, hey, what are they serving? And what are we bringing? You know, I just want to know, like, honestly, biasly, I want to know if it's going to control my blood sugar or if I need to bring something, or more importantly, am I going to need to eat something small before I go? So I at least go in with optimizing my blood sugar first, knowing that there might be some misses, there might be some things that I might not be comfortable with, but maybe I am backed in a corner and I am eating something that I'm usually not used to, but at least I go in on a very good note of blood sugar optimization. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've done that and continue to do that.
Yeah. I think a lot of us think about that. We might not put that together like, ooh, right now I'm thinking about blood sugar control, but mm-hmm. it is like, oh gosh, is there going to be some protein there? You know, yeah, I want to make sure I'm not snacking on all of the chips all night because I'm just hungry. I need some protein. Yeah. But yeah, well, I think that's really important.
We don't find, I mean, it depends on where you go, but I don't find a lot of protein sources at holiday parties, right? Now, if it's a holiday dinner, it might be a little different unless you're plant-based, right? But that said, I mean, there's still some protein sources there, obviously. But I think to your point, it's just sometimes more difficult to find protein at parties versus like dinners, right? So that's the thing. Like if I go to a social gathering party, I'm already assuming that, listen, protein is going to be so slim. So I'm going to actually have a little bit more protein before I go, right? That's just my mindset.
Or you can bring it, like your contribution is the charcuterie board or whatever.
Yes.
Additional proteins. So,
I think we also have to bring up hydration really quick, Dee. And I think my brain has been on a theme of digestion lately, but I think we also, you know, everyone knows the importance of drinking water, you know, hydration and cognitive functioning, muscular performance, recovery, blah, blah, blah. But I think also, you know, I think these times of the year is actually when I see a lot of individuals have a lot of GI distress. And it's not from exercising. It's not from taking sport nutrition products. It's from eating foods that are very unfamiliar to them. And with that, I just want to throw a plug in to staying hydrated, right? With plain water sometimes, because water helps the digestive process, right? So I think we need to remember that. Like I see so many bad things happen digestively, and sometimes water is not going to fix everything, but it's a great piece of the puzzle that will keep your digestive health so strong when there are so many challenges and opportunities to miss your target in terms of food.
That is a forgotten aspect, isn't it, Bob? Thank you for that. Yeah.
Well, and you know, I think also here's just another thing that I recommend too. Now I've got a lot of athletes, college athletes are going to go away for break soon and everything. And, you know, I also kind of give the little reminder, if you will, that listen, if you're taking supplements, holidays don't give you a free pass in terms of not taking them anymore. Like if you're taking supplements for a reason, please continue taking your supplements. Like, again, I look at routines. So we talk about planning ahead, like your body and brain love routines. It absolutely loves, right? So with that said, don't use the holidays and say, oh, you know what? I'm just not going to take my vitamin D for 4, 5, 6 weeks. Like I'm just whatever. I'm traveling. I don't want to take it with me. No. If you're taking supplements that you need, please continue taking them because there's a reason you're taking them. And again, I just try to keep the routine as stable and as efficient as possible with people during the holidays, even in times of crazy, crazy travel. Like again, even if you're stuck in an airport, whatever, I get that, but you just want to uphold as much routine as you can for your body and your brain.
I just had a thought, Bob, because I am traveling for this upcoming Thanksgiving holiday to family members that we often see around this time of the year. But I was just thinking, because I've been in this lens, like as the guest in someone else's home, and it's kind of messing with my routine. But we can also ask of the hosts, whomever we're visiting, like, how can I honor your routine for exercise, for sleep? Can I do some chores?
Yes.
Which, you know, I would do anyways, but like just thinking of both sides of the table on this routine front, that way the outcome is hopefully that all parties involved can stick to a routine as close as possible, or at least have that honored more given the busyness of it all?
Yeah, it's a good point, because what's a stressor when someone comes to visit you, even though if you love them to death, the stressor is that your routine is going to get thrown off, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's literally it. If you love them and you enjoy their company and everything, like the stressor is, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to do my morning exercise or do whatever. I love that idea, is just communicating when you have a guest, or if you are the guest, and saying, listen, you know, how can I best kind of just fit in to what you're already doing during the day and not be, you know, kind of that thorn in the side. I don't want to be a stressor. I want to contribute here. I think that's a great message.
Well, I thought of that too, because to be totally honest, I just yesterday messaged with my sister-in-law, whom I'm staying with, to see if she's still planning to go to her gym on the days that we're visiting, except for the holiday that the gym is closed. And she said, yes. And I like, excellent. And then I suggested that maybe I tag along so that I can, you know, get my workout in as well. So, I mean, it's a win-win.
You didn't just say, oh, great, what time are we going? Because then it's a stressor for her.
We'll let that happen naturally. But it feels good to have some of that forethought and planning.
It does. It does, for sure. Well, I think, you know, I think in this, you know, armchair, you know, episode, which is, that kind of has a catchy mm-hmm. title, doesn't it? Interesting. Anyway, I think we've just kind of, you know, listeners, we've just, you know, you've just listened to two dietitians just chatting about the holidays. And, you know, what we didn't say is you need to do X, Y, Z, right? I think we all need to reflect on number one, what the holidays mean to us and, you know, family and the time. We also need to be respectful for ourselves and what we need. But I think, you know, really one of the main things nutritionally, if we bring it back to food, is I think we both agree on protein. Like, please make protein a priority, because that will really set up a lot of great, successful next steps in terms of your food choices and your mood and just everything. So that definitely, water, hydration. But, you know, I think, listeners, hopefully you picked up on a few golden nuggets of what to do in different scenarios. And, you know, I think this episode was more or less of, you know, have this list of eat this, not that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't our intention, right? Our intention is really to explore really what's going on during the holidays and your approach to food, right?
Yeah, perfect. I think there are a lot of nuggets. So hopefully you listeners can relate to some of that, employ some of those strategies, and let us know what's on your mind for this holiday season. Drop us a note over at hello@insidesportsnutrition.com. We'd love to hear from you. And for now, Bob, we will close out. Thanks again for everyone to join us today. We'll catch you.
And happy holidays.
I was going to say that. I'm glad you didn't do the jingle bells thing, Bob, but we'll save that.
I was going to, but jingle. How about that? That was
okay. Perfect. All right, listeners, catch you on the next episode. All right. Thanks for being here again. As always, we do appreciate it. You're going to want to stay tuned for next week's episode number 105. We are chatting with Dr. Bradford Cooper, who's the CEO of Catalyst Coaching 360. He's also an incredible athlete in his own right. In fact, in 2016, he earned the title of World's Fittest CEO. But we're having him on the show to talk about his PhD work, or some of it anyway, and this concept and model of functional mental toughness in athletes. Super fascinating, his research and how this model is applied in real life to really anyone, but athletes in particular can benefit from learning the ins and outs of this model and how to approach all kinds of things in our own lives. So stay tuned for that coming your way. Hey, we'd love your support in promoting our podcast. So if you find our information beneficial, our real life strategies useful to you in your quest for improving health and performance, please give us a 5-star rating in Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us grow. It's a super small gesture, but it is huge for us. And it does help us share our content with other listeners around the world. Thank you for that. And if you'd like to provide support in another way to our podcast, you can head over to our website, insidesportsnutrition.com/support, and leave a donation all of the funds go directly to our operating costs, and we definitely appreciate that as well. If you're interested in learning more about the services that Bob and I provide, including nutrition coaching, online learning, physiological testing, and so on, go over to Bob's company website, energyperformance.com. That's spelled energperformance.com. And myself, Dina, over at nutritionmechanic.com. We'd love to connect with you there. And over on Instagram, find us there as well. And in addition, the podcast handle, ISN Podcast. All right. Thank you again. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the hosts and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.